You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Orphan Age. Let me start with this question. If you look at your life and you look at how you're coming along and the progress you're making or not making, does it ever like occur to you, or do you ever think to yourself, why is this not working? Why is it that I either don't get this stuff spiritually, or I'm not really growing spiritually, or there's really no one showing me how to do it, or maybe I really don't want anybody showing me how to do it? And yeah, socially, maybe I get along. Maybe you've got a felony. Maybe you've done something stupid. Maybe you're in a DWI. Maybe you got a few little, you know, bumps in the road, pretty serious maybe. But maybe you're able to function. You're a functional, whatever you are, and you do your thing. You go to work, you get a check, you kind of pay your bills, the lights are turned off every once in a while, the water goes off every once in a while, you get it turned back on, and you're kind of just making it, but something is just not right. Something's not working. And if you're like me, at least back in the day, and still have this, but nothing like it was early on, you know, you read your Bible and people preach or talk about peace, and you're like, I got no peace. And they talk about joy, and you go, I really don't have any joy. And they talk about God loving you, and how many people I sit and talk to, and they go, you know what? I just don't get this whole God loving me thing. I don't understand. I don't feel his love. I'm trying to go through the motions. My mom's glad I'm going to church. You know, I'm trying to do the whole God thing, but frankly, it's just not working. Anybody? I mean, don't raise your hand on this. But it's like, there's got to be more to this than just kind of walking around with a 1,000-piece puzzle, no box lid and 4 pieces going, can somebody help me? Now, how does this happen? And you can't be a part of a church like this where the mission statement of the church is disciples making disciples and not hear a message about this along the way. And I am still trying to process this, because the same thing maybe that is happening to you, and I grew up in church. I mean, maybe you say, well, I didn't know anything about God, didn't go to church, my parents were a piece of work, whatever you had going, didn't have any parents, we'll get to that in a minute. Whatever your situation, even if you're raised in church, it is possible to just be kind of fumbling your way through the process going, why does this not work? Now, here's my kind of presupposition here. I don't think Jesus ever intended for it to be this way. This is not the plan. If you feel that way and things are not working out and it doesn't really make a lot of sense or hasn't so far, I really don't think that was the plan he put in motion. Why in the world would God the Father have a deal before the foundation of the world, cut a deal, and Jesus agreed that he would come, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, already decided, he knew we'd screw up, that he was going to come, he would live, he would die, be buried and raised from the dead for this? Is that why they went to all that trouble? Just to get us a ticket to heaven and life be meaningless? You know what? Stop the cruelty. Get us out of here. Part of the package, if that's all there is to it, part of the deal with becoming a Christian, because it basically doesn't work, then if God were truly merciful, the second you believed, part of the package was he'd kill you. I'm out of here. I finally got it and believed, and now I'm out of here. What are we still doing here? I believed. And I'm still stuck here. For what? Because if I don't get it, how am I going to help you get it? And if you don't get it, how are you going to help someone else get it? And if I'm all jacked up still and you're all jacked up and we're the people that supposedly go to church and get it and we're going out there and we don't even get it, then how in the world is anybody else going to get it? It seems like a pretty sorry plan. Unless there really is a plan that works and we're just not working the plan. Let me read you what an orphanage is. Obviously, it's an institution for the housing and care of orphans. Let me read you a couple of definitions for an orphan. A child who has lost both parents through death, or less commonly, one parent. And then down in the definitions, listen to this one, number 7. Orphan, not authorized, supported, or funded, not part of a system, isolated, abandoned. Ever feel that way? And then people say, well, I don't want to be a part of the organized church. Well, come to this one because we are basically very disorganized. So it's not true. It's just a good joke. He said, I don't want to be a part of organized religion. That would be like saying, I don't want to grow up in a really nice home. I don't want two loving parents. I don't want structure. I don't want people loving me. I don't want it. But you say, well, is that what's going on in the church? Now, here's part of my presupposition today as well. I think some people describe this time that we live in the scheme of things, as the church age. I think it may, at least in America, be the orphan age. I think it's intended to be the church age. I think it's intended to be a time when the church does what it's supposed to do and bring people in and adopt them and raise them. But as it turns out, we are just the orphan age running an orphanage. I've been milling this around, and I'm not saying I'm done today on this, but I'm processing this one. You know, maybe I'm going way on the other side, but I'm afraid that's what it's turned into in the church. Is your job, what we've kind of turned it into is, this is our orphanage. Now, the difference is in this orphanage, hopefully we don't see this as an orphanage, but a lot of orphanages, the really good ones, have their own orphanage. You go to work, and your job is to go make a bunch of money and then come in, write checks, and stay out of the way, because we are the professionals. And we are going to build you a big old beautiful orphanage where you can come and we'll feed you a little bit and we'll have games for you to play and some activities and we'll babysit your children. But you don't do anything. We don't have the staff, the capability to take you on personally and get you even foster care. We don't even have foster parents. We got some professionals that oversee the orphanage. Now, one of the best orphanages on the planet is just a few miles from this building, Buckner Children's Home. And if you go over there, they have an amazing campus. They've got homes built and parents that live with a bunch of orphans in that pod, in those units. They do an extraordinary job taking care of orphans because that's, if those children are not adopted, that's almost the best you're going to get. But that is not the best. You take an orphan whose parents have died and then someone comes along and chooses that child. That is crazy stuff. An abandoned human being, by death or otherwise, but let's just, in the wars, you go look at Rwanda, go anywhere on the planet now, and there's, in Haiti, there are orphans everywhere. It's a horrible thing. You think, oh, we feel terrible for the orphans, and there are people that can have kids out the wazoo, and, you know, that some family says, well, we can't have children, so we're going to adopt, and they go pick a child. It's an extraordinary thing. That's the same way it's supposed to be at church. The orphans walk in and think it's just an orphanage. We say, no. This isn't even just foster care. We got people who will adopt you. We got people who have signed up. Now, they were orphans too, but they got over it. See, here's part of our problem. You say, well, nobody did that for me. Grow up. Get a life. Figure it out. You go, well, that's not fair. Forget it being fair. Do something to change the planet. Figure out a way to get for someone else what you didn't have yourself and get in the game. Why do we make such a big push around here to do one-on-one stuff? One person with two people with four people, whatever it ends up being, one-on-one. We're trying to get you to realize that until you engage in the process, we are just making babies at best and turning them out, putting them on the street. Now, some do come and stay and kind of take the bits and pieces and try to figure it out. It's horrible stuff, but it's not intended to be this way. Now, what is the orphan age? Now, think about this with me a minute. If you went to the American church, let's just stick to the United States for a while, and you go to the American church, and by the way, this message isn't just for us, it ends up some other places, so I'm trying to say some things beyond here. What do you think the average age of the American Christian orphan is? Anybody got any ideas? Obviously, birth. How long before a child is walking? Give me an idea. 1.5 The average American Christian cannot even walk with God. Agree or disagree? So you have this system of orphanages where we basically have birth to maybe year and a half old Christians who just housed. They're, and we ought to have a seminar for this. Bunch of them aren't potty trained. How many moms, dads we got here dealing right now with potty training? Raise your hand. You think this is not a big deal? I got three in my house out of diapers, and we're not going back, so I'm just saying. Okay, you got the picture now? We got fancy orphanages. We got some poor orphanages. We got some big ones. We got some multi-billion dollar ones. From time to time, we usually have families here who are homeless. Do you know what? Because you do not have a home, you do not cease to be a family. A home doesn't make you a family. If you are a family, you are a family whether you got a house or not. Now, it is more convenient to have a house, but your family unit can be intact. Is it hard? Yes. But is the emphasis on being families or on the homes, the housing of these people? Is anybody getting this yet? Now, somehow in this message, somewhere along the way and in this process, something has to go off in your head and in your heart where you say, no one raised me. I'm one of these orphans he's talking about. But enough already. I'm going to figure out, if I have to read books on how to be a parent, I am going to figure out a way to adopt a child, not having been a parent, having parents myself maybe, but I'm going to learn, even if it's just very awkwardly, and I'm going to say to these kids that I adopt, look, I'm your dad now. I'm your big brother now. We're going to do this together. I don't know what I'm doing. But I am not going to let happen to you what happened to me, so we're going to figure this out together. You got time for that? And you say, well, what's in it for me? You just change the world, that's all. And you put an end to this madness of saying, well, good luck, God bless you, go in peace. Hope it works out for you. Don't ask me, I don't know. Let me read you a quote by Robin Collingwood, English philosopher back in the 1800s and early 1900s. Listen to this. Parenthood is not an object of appetite or even desire. It is an object of will. There is no appetite for parenthood. There is only a purpose or intention of parenthood. You say, well, I don't feel like being a parent today. You know what? Whatever. You had these babies, see, and a lot of churches celebrate, oh, so-and-so got saved, the new birth, born again. We notch the fuselage for the babies getting born. I want to see the grown children who can have their own babies and raise their own kids. Go to Matthew 4, and let's jump in at verse 17. And then we'll do another one at the end of Matthew. Now, if you say, well, I've heard all these verses, you know what? What are you doing with these verses? Here's what my Bible says, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. The deal, what the book says is, if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you will end up being a fisher of men. So everybody go, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Then show me your fish. If you are following him, sooner or later, there are going to be people caught in this net, hooked. Believe, because they're going to observe what's going on. You're going to have conversation. They go, wow, I can't get away from this. God caught me. I'm in. I get it. So we're not fishing for fish anymore. We're fishing for people. Is that part of your life? You say, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. If you are following him, it's going to result in being a fisher of men. There's no way for it not to happen. That is what it says. And we wonder why people say, well, then you say you're a follower of Christ. Are you catching anything? We don't even have the pole out. We're not even casting. It's not happening. Why? Because if we don't know how to follow him, this that's supposed to result never happens. Go to Matthew chapter 28. And these are the big ones. You know, if you've never heard these, I'm reading them because it's in the book. Jesus has lived, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, shed his blood. Tells the guys he's going to meet with them one more time before he ascends into heaven. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I'm in charge. Well, wasn't he in charge before? Yeah, but he came and conquered death, sin, the devil. He conquered everything that had gotten screwed up. All authority is mine. And then people, my whole life, I grew up with the go sermons. Go, go. Man, I've heard go so much. That's not the imperative. If you break this sentence apart, it really says, as you are going, the hammer drops on make disciples. That's the command. This is not optional. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Look what he says to do. Teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'll help you. I'll be with you. We'll do this together. What did he teach them? If you don't know the scriptures, you don't know what he taught them, and you can't teach anybody else. Read Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is Paul writing to Galatia. If you go down even to, you can read a bunch of this stuff in 1 John, just to say it's not just Paul. John repeatedly, 1 John 2:1, my little children, 1 John 2:2, I write to you little children. 1 John 2:18, little children. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourself from idols. He's talking to them as kids. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, you're a fisher of men, where are your children? Where are your kids? You say, well, I got three kids. No, I'm not talking about physical kids. You have a responsibility there as well. Where are your spiritual children? And how are they doing? And why don't we know that? You say, well, I don't have any kids. Well, that's something to think about. That's why I would back you up and say, if you are a follower of Christ, you are going to be a fisher of men. You're going to have children. You say, you're expecting too much. No, we're expecting nothing. And that's the problem. Because we're building orphanages. And all we got to do is get you to come. We play some great music and someone get up and scratch your ears. You go, oh, that was entertaining. Here, I'll write a little check. You're going to be nice to me? You're going to suck up to me? I gave some money. Oh, you want to build something? Oh, that's going to take lunch and breakfast. Oh, we need you to contribute and give money, and we're going to build an orphanage, and you can just come. We don't expect anything from you. You don't have to grow, and if you're screwed up, don't tell us. If you get really screwed up, we have trained professional counselors to handle that privately. We don't want to know, though. Don't go public with it, because it'll blow up. CPS, spiritual CPS will show up, and we're in trouble. Find out we're abusing the orphans. You say, Richard, you're crazy. It's not this bad. Okay, then you tell me how it is. What is going on in a country with billions of dollars, millions supposedly of Christians, and we raise kids in churches, and the second they can get out, they are gone for 15 to 20 years at a shot. Get me as far away from that place as I can. Those people are crazy. How are you, Brother Tom? Very good, Tom. How are you, Brother Tom? Very good. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. What are we talking about? There's more to following Christ than that. More verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I am not giving up on this. I think the assumption, no assumption, Jesus commanded it. Paul was doing it. The assumption, the whole book is these people are going to get saved. They're going to get Jesus. They're going to be believers. And then they're going to grow up and they're going to multiply spiritually, be fruitful and multiply. It's a no-brainer. It's going to work. We'll take the planet. But no one will do it. And so we have this orphan age that we've lived in and no one knows what to do. And so when you try to gather a bunch of orphans and say, look, you people got to become parents. What? I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. Have you ever seen a man who has never held a baby and holds a baby for the first time? They like got their baby. They pick the baby up kind of like this. They're holding it out away from him, afraid it's going to like pee on him or whatever's going to happen, you know. Just really awkward. There is no gathered, bringing that baby in. I mean, I have, you know, three girls going to hospital, see somebody that's just had a baby and I grab it behind the neck, pick it up. You know, those nurses, man, they are flopping that stuff. You think they're making pancakes or something or pizza. Because they know what they're doing. But a first-time dad, Elizabeth, man, she was born. Oh, that was a crazy day for me. Because I love kids, but this thing's like 5 pounds, and we're dressing her before we leave the hospital, laying her on the bed. We got outfits. You know, it's not one. You got two or three to pick from. What's she going to wear home? And I'm trying to slide, you know, stuff in those little limbs. Thinks I'm going to snap off on me. The car seat, the carrier's got that wrap thing, and then you got to put towels around that because they're just a little thing. I put her in the back of that old Suburban we had. I was doing 15 miles an hour on the access road on, you know, nothing was moving. Oh, don't we hit a bump? She's going to die. Of course, by the time Catherine came along, like, get in the car, girls. Daddy has an appointment. We got to get out of here. Why? Because there was familiarity. I was comfortable finally. The reason you get so freaked out about discipleship is that someone walks up to you and says, hey, here's a baby, raise it. Yeah. And you don't have a clue what you're doing. How would you know what you're doing? It's never happened to you. But we are trying to take this mob of orphans who go, man, this sucks. Why didn't somebody do this for me? Where were these people? Where were the parents? Why is no one raising up a generation of parents and churches so that when I come along, there's someone to raise me? We may have to jump in midstream and do this in this country, but I do think it's possible. Enough already. Enough already. Not of this sermon, of course, but of that. 1 Corinthians 4. Let me just read you a few more verses and then we will be done. I didn't say in closing, so... 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. This is Paul writing to this church in Corinth. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Listen to these words. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You're my kids. You may have a bunch of people come along and teach you, but you're my kids. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Who do you have? You're a follower of Christ, therefore a fisher of men. He says, as you're going, make disciples. You have got somebody you've caught. Can you look at them and say, imitate me? Follow me. Do what I'm doing. I will show you how to do this. What do you think parenting is? Why do you think kids say some of the words they say? They hear it at home. Why do we have mannerisms, certain things we do? If you have had parents, you end up imitating them for better or for worse. Whether it's good or bad, you end up doing that. Whether I like it or not, in a lot of ways, I'm like my dad. Do things, say things, approach life in a certain way with boldness and whatever, because I saw him do it. And I think, well, you can do that. And you say, well, Richard, you know, it's in the Bible, but I'm a business person. I'm a professional. I don't have time for this. What do you have time for? How are you changing the stinking planet? And I mean stinking planet literally. You say, well, I don't have a lot of time. You better find some time for somebody or you're going to hit and miss life and be gone and go, wow, I missed it. Where are your disciples? Where are they? I'm a follower of Christ. You cannot claim to be a follower of Christ if you don't end up being a fisher of men. If you're a fisher of men, you're going to be making disciples. If you're making disciples, you're raising people who follow Christ, are fishers of men, and can do the same thing. And then you're going to have grandkids and great-grandkids. By the time you leave, you're going, man, no matter how I go out, this is amazing. I changed the world. How do you think Paul suffered so much, went through so much, and seemingly it didn't matter? Because it was working. Whatever the devil throws at you, bring it. You know what? You can't stop this train unless you start building orphanages and tell everybody just to settle down, calm down, write your checks. We'll take care of this. See, if you actually engage in this process, what you will discover is that these people we're supposed to be discipling and that we're supposed to adopt and raise and take in turn out to be our own family. You know, I get all animated and preach these sermons. And I know as sure as I'm standing here, I won't get many takers. And that's part of the frustrating thing. But I will tell you what, I ain't backing off of this. This is not something I made up. It's in the book. And basically, most, if not over half of the New Testament is nothing but follow-up material to new believers who were screwing their lives up and needed some direction. And they knew they had to write and communicate and help them grow up and parent these kids.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
When we talk about disciples making disciples, and we urge you to get connected, and we urge you to take on somebody and grow up, you know, enough already. Get up on your own two feet, let somebody help you, and get in a position to take somebody else on and help them, and let's put an end to this generational mess. We talk about generational curses. The orphan age may be the generational curse that clogs up a whole country, a planet. You can do this. You know why? Because God asked you to do it, told you to do it, told us to do it, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to do through us. It's doable. You're going to have to let your fears go and get in the game. You say, well, I'm not in a position to raise anybody. Then you need to be raised. And that's what ought to be going on in every church.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.